Praise the Lord. Mark chapter 10, going to begin reading with verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and 46, it's a familiar passage. But this is just the direction I felt the Lord leading me in for this morning. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46, when you found it, say amen. Mark chapter 10, verse 46. It says, "Now they came to Jericho, and as Jesus went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, 'Be of good cheer, rise, he is calling you.' And throwing aside the garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, 'What do you want me to do for you?' The blind man said to him, 'Rabboni, that I may receive my sight.' Then Jesus said to him, 'Go your way, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road." Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, God, this is your word and we are your people. And Lord, we have gathered together here in this place to hear from you. God, you have a word that you have designed for this very moment for each and every one of us who are here. And I pray, Lord God, that that word would descend from heaven even right now. That God, it would not be held back by our human ears nor by these human lips, but that God, your word would go forth in this place this morning, that you would impact us, Lord, in the area of our need, and that God, we would become closer to you as a result of the word that we receive in this place. So speak to us, Lord God. Remove all the clutter, remove all the distraction, and let us hear from you. And God, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said amen and amen. Here in this passage of Scripture, we read it a lot of times, and sometimes we don't take the time to really think about what all is going on in these moments. Jesus has gone to Jericho. He's actually getting ready to finish up his teachings on this earth. He's getting ready to finish up his ministry that he has. And he knows that he's setting out for Jerusalem, and he knows that he's going to be coming into Jerusalem riding on a colt, on a foal of a donkey. And he will be fulfilling the prophecy that would say, "Your king comes lowly riding on a donkey." He knows that this is all taking place, and he's geared himself up. He's begun to share with his disciples that it's almost over, and I'm getting ready to go to the cross. And as he's been sharing these things and going and doing his teaching and wrapping up his ministry here on earth, he goes through Jericho and a great crowd is following him. They're going to follow him all the way to Jerusalem. They're going to follow him to Bethany and Bethphage. And they're going to follow him all the way until they see him riding into the city. And they're going to cut branches off of the palm trees. And they're going to lay their jackets on the ground. It's going to be a big parade. It's going to be a wonderful procession. Now, the people following Jesus don't know what all it's going to be. They just know they like being where Jesus is. Is there anybody else who's like that? You don't know exactly how it's going to be, but you like being where Jesus is. So all these people have gathered together. They've got the momentum. They're on their way. And with this large of a crowd and getting everyone to go in the same direction, that can sometimes be a hardship. Sometimes you don't want to have any distractions. You don't want anything to slow you down and to take away your pace. So Jesus is pressing through and all of this multitude with him, and there's a man by the road who hears that Jesus is coming. Jesus, he's heard the remarks about what Jesus has done. He's heard that Jesus spat in a man's eyes and told him to go and wash, and that man was able to see. He's heard that Jesus made mud out of the ground and put it in a man's eye sockets, and he opened his eyeballs that hadn't been there before, and he could see. He's heard that even the deaf and the mute can hear and speak. He's heard that even demons have to obey the voice of Jesus. He's heard all of these different things, and he hears that this great crowd passing in front of him is passing in front of him because they are with Jesus. And immediately, he begins to cry out. Now here's the thing about Bartimaeus, and we point this out every time that we look at his story. Bartimaeus is a blind man. As a blind man, he couldn't hold a job, so he had to rely on begging. He had to sit there in a beggar's robe, and he had to be the way that their robes were in that time. He had to have a specific robe that marked him as being a legitimate beggar. Wouldn't it be nice if we had those today? These guys that are holding out their signs saying, "We'll work for food," or "I need money for this or that." Wouldn't it be nice if they had some kind of a marking on them that you knew that they were legitimate? Well, Bartimaeus had a robe that he had to wear that distinguished him as being truly a blind man and someone, therefore, that was in need of your charity and in need of your giving. So Bartimaeus had this robe. Maybe it would have been for us like seeing someone walking with a cane that has a white tip. We would know immediately that that person is blind. And Bartimaeus was dressed as a blind beggar. He was sitting on the road, and when the people hear him crying, they really think he's just doing his job. He's just begging. They don't really think anything special of it because they've heard him cry out before for alms, and they've heard him cry out for this and that, maybe a little food here and there. And so as he's crying out for Jesus, many of those in the crowd think nothing of it. And so he continues to cry out, but nothing happens. Have you ever had a time when you were crying out to Jesus and it felt like nothing was happening? You ever been there? You cry out to Jesus and you know that Jesus has to be there because His Word says that He's there, and you launch your prayer toward heaven and you just know that He's supposed to be listening, but it doesn't seem like He pays any attention. That's the way it felt for Bartimaeus. Now, there was a crowd gathered around Jesus, and of course, that made it harder for Jesus to perhaps hear Bartimaeus. But in the midst of it all, Bartimaeus kept on crying out. And you see, I think that's one of the problems that we have as Christians today. We pray and we cry out to God, and when it seems like God is holding back, or maybe it seems like God's not listening, and we begin to go through a time of doubt, and we immediately stop crying out to God, don't we? We would rather just stop, not get our hopes up, not build our faith up any further. We would rather just sit back and consign ourselves or resign ourselves to no longer having Jesus answering that prayer. We don't come out and say it, but many times it's the way it is in the life of the believer. Bartimaeus didn't stop. He kept crying out. And as he cried out, there were those who heard the cries in the crowd and realized that he was calling out for Jesus. But, you know, this processional that's leaving Jericho, they aren't wanting to stop. They're not wanting to slow down. So they try to convince Bartimaeus that Jesus is too busy. I mean, after all, he's got to go to his parade. He's got to go and be identified as the coming king. He's got to go to the temple and cleanse the temple. Now, the people may not know this, but this is what it's all about. So Jesus doesn't have time for this. You ever felt like maybe Jesus didn't have time for you? You ever felt like maybe other brothers and sisters in Christ didn't have time for you? Bartimaeus is feeling very alone right now. He's in a situation that he has no control over. He cannot see his way through the crowd to get to Jesus. He can't recognize Jesus' voice because he's never heard it before, but he knows that he's there. And he wants to get his attention. But he's in a place, in a position, where through no fault of his own, he can't seem to get there, and now the people are telling him to be quiet. Give it up, Bartimaeus. God's not going to answer that prayer right now, Bartimaeus. Maybe some other time. Maybe you should stop praying about it, and then later, if the Spirit leads you, you should cry out about it again. Bartimaeus didn't stop. He was determined. He was going to make sure that Jesus heard his voice. Can you imagine what would happen if every time we got into a place of prayer, whether it's your prayer closet or these altars or even in your pew, can you imagine what it would be like if we were so determined in our prayers that we were not going to stop praying for whatever the situation was, we were not going to stop praying until we knew that Jesus had heard us? Well, the question is, how do you know that Jesus has heard you? And I'm so glad you asked that question. Here he is, Bartimaeus cries out all that much more. He keeps on crying out, even though they're trying to silence his cries. He keeps on crying out. But look at what his cry is. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is his prayer. He doesn't start out by saying, Lord, I want you to heal me. I want you to touch my eyes. I want to be able to see. He starts out with, God, I need your mercy. There's some other words that we have in the Scripture that are interchangeable with the word mercy, especially when we look at mercy in the Hebrew. Mercy can also be said as loving kindness. God, I need your loving kindness. I'm living in a world that isn't very kind and isn't very loving, God. Anybody identify with that? I'm living in a circumstance and in a situation where I need your loving kindness, God. Another phrase that we have, or another word that we have for mercy, especially in the New Testament, is the word grace. God, I need your grace. I need your unmerited favor. God, I can't do it on my own. My own strength is not enough. My efforts are failing, God. I need your grace. I need you, Lord God, to give me mercy. Mercy is a powerful word. Perhaps one of the most powerful words in the entire English language. It is mercy that allows for a man who has been condemned to die on death row. It is mercy that allows a governor or even a president to call that warden as they're getting ready to either flip the switch or make the injection. It is mercy that causes that governor or causes that president to make the call and say, cease it. Don't do it. I'm going to pardon him. Mercy is one of the most powerful things that could exist. And here, blind Bartimaeus, he's not asking for $1 million. He's not asking for a new car. He's simply asking for mercy. What is it that gets God's attention? The Scripture tells us that the Lord is looking for those individuals that are humble and have a contrite heart. Those individuals, essentially, that recognize that they need the mercy of God. We can't make it without God's mercy. No matter how holy we are in this life, our holiness fails in comparison to the holiness of Christ. And He is what we're striving to be like. And the only way to get there is by mercy. Mercy. As Bartimaeus continues to cry out for mercy, and the crowd continues to tell him, be quiet, the Lord's too busy, he's got places to go, he's got other appointments, he's got other engagements, he's got other things that he needs to do. And yet, as Bartimaeus is crying out for mercy, Jesus through all of the crowd, through every individual that is there, that is following Him, that is noisy, that is pressing against Him, that is trying to get His attention, through the midst of it all, above all of the chaos, above all of the noise, He hears that one individual sitting someplace off to the side where He can't see him, and He hears this person saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." How is it that you will know that Jesus has heard you? Jesus stood still. When will you know that Jesus has answered your prayer? You'll notice that Jesus has stopped right where you are. You'll sense His presence. You'll know that His mercy is there. He'll even begin to change the circumstance around you. Because the way it was for Bartimaeus, he's been crying out for the mercy of the Lord. He's been trying to get the Lord's attention. And as he's trying to get the Lord's attention, everyone's been telling him to be quiet. But yet, when Jesus stops and he says, "What is going on? Who is this? What is it that I hear?" And Jesus says, "I want you to bring him to me." Then the very same people who had been saying, "He doesn't have time for you," the very same people that said he's got other more pressing appointments and engagements, the same people who said he's got a parade to go to and a temple to cleanse, are now the same people that are coming to Bartimaeus. And instead of discouraging him, they're now encouraging him. And they're saying, "Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. The Lord wants you to come to him. The Lord wants you to come to where he is." You see, even though we face difficulty and we face discouragement and we have things that begin to stifle our prayer life and even begin to take away from our faith, if we keep on pressing closer to Christ, if we keep on crying out, eventually He's going to stand still. Eventually He's going to bring the procession to a stop. And He's going to not only come to where you are and have you come to where He is, but He's going to have others around you begin to encourage you. "I don't know about that, Brother Darrell. Some of those people that discourage me, I don't see how that they can encourage me." Yeah, I get the feeling that's the way it was for Job. Remember good old Brother Job? Good old Brother Job lost everything except his wife. Everything else is gone. His health is failing. It's not doing real good. He's scratching himself. He's doing everything to try and get relief in his physical body. And his best buddies come by and they discourage him. They put him down. But then when he has an encounter with God, when he finally gets to the place where God stops and God shows up in Job's life, the next thing you know, God's telling Job's friends who had just been discouraging him to come back and encourage him. To come back and to bless him. To even give to him. Job, who lost so much. And then you read about the end of his life and you find he had more at the end than he had when he lost it all. Why? Because God stopped, God moved, and God sent others to encourage him. Bartimaeus had been discouraged, now he's being encouraged. Jesus has come to a standstill, and now the people are saying, "Jesus is calling for you, let's get you to him." And Bartimaeus, as he gets up off the ground, he takes off his robe and he lays it down. Why? Because he knows, by faith, that if he's gotten the attention of God, he does not need a beggar's robe ever again. What is it that we need to take off this morning? What is it that we need to let go of? What is it we need to strip off of us? Because we know we don't have to go back that way ever again. As you're fasting, in whatever level you're fasting over these 21 days, now we're 1 week into this fast, whatever it is that you're fasting from, maybe you'll find that some of those things you've let go of are things that the Lord actually wants you to strip off and leave behind because you won't need them anymore. Or maybe the Lord will put on your heart something that needs to be done. You know, in my life, one of the things that He's constantly pointing out to me are attitudes that I have under certain circumstances, in certain situations. I've got to be able to strip that off and leave it behind because I don't want to be identified by that anymore. I'm going to where Jesus is. He's calling me to Him, and I don't need that junk anymore. Bartimaeus left his robe behind and he goes through the crowd and he comes to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" You know you've gotten Christ's attention when he starts saying, "Okay, now what is it that you want? What is it that you want? God's going to actually tell me what is it that I want?" Well, he did that with Solomon. "Solomon, what do you want?" "I want wisdom and understanding." "Okay, Solomon, there you go. And because you didn't ask for all these other things, guess what, Solomon? I'm going to give them to you too. There'll never be another king like you because you asked for wisdom and understanding." God does that for us too. He's not a respecter of persons. He thinks just as highly of you as he thought about Solomon. He wants to give you wisdom just like he gave Solomon. That's why James said, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all and upbraideth not." In other words, he's not a respecter of persons, so he gives to everybody an overabundant amount of wisdom if they just ask him for it. He's not a respecter of persons. "What is it that you want?" Jesus said that our prayer life is like a widow who comes before a judge to plead her case against her enemy, and the judge won't hear her. He won't listen. And then finally, the judge says, "I'm going to give her what she's petitioning me for, lest she weary me with her continual complaint." And Jesus said, this is the way your prayer life is supposed to be. You don't stop. You keep on praying. You don't give up. Then he goes on to say, "Nevertheless, at the end of the age will the Son of Man find faith when he returns." Will he find faith? Will he find people that keep asking? Jesus said, "Ask and you shall receive." He said, "Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open." He wants us to be active with our faith. And one of the ways he wants us to be active with our faith is in our prayer life. Crying out to him, pressing through the crowd until we get to the place where he says, "What is it that you want?" And at that moment, all of the heavens and all of the earth are at the disposal of the saint who is in the presence of Christ. Here's Bartimaeus. Someone had to help him through the crowd. Someone had to bring him to where Jesus was, but Jesus was waiting for him. Jesus had stopped the procession. He had stood there until Bartimaeus could get to him. "What is it that you want?" And Bartimaeus says, "Rabboni," or "dear teacher." He knows who Jesus is. He knows that he's the greatest teacher of all. "Rabboni," he says, "the only thing that I want is just to be able to see." Just to be able to see. "I don't want to be able to see and have all the riches of the world. I don't want to be able to be the most popular guy in town. I don't want to be president." I feel sorry for those people who do want to be president. "I don't want all of these things. All I want is to be able to see." And Jesus says, "Go your way. Your faith has made you well." Where is it that he needed to be well? It was in his eyes. Because of his faith, he was now able to see. Right? 2 Corinthians 5 and 7 says, "We walk by faith, not by sight." There's a lesson for us here in Bartimaeus. Not only in the aspects of us continuing to cry out to God for our needs and for our circumstances and for His mercy. But there's also an example here about our faith and walking according to our faith even when we can't see Jesus. Bartimaeus could not see Jesus. He could not hear Jesus until he got to where Jesus spoke to him. But yet he was willing to take off that robe and lay it down, trusting and believing he didn't need it anymore. He was willing to keep on crying out to God until Christ stopped in his presence. He was willing to make it through this crowd. He was willing to endure all the hardships because he didn't give up in his faith. He was walking by faith before he ever saw Jesus. It was a result of walking by faith that he saw Jesus. Are you ready for this? As I used to say, grab your seatbelt and put it on. Folks, are you walking by faith? You can't see Jesus yet, can you? Are you living in His mercy every day? There's no other way to live, is there? Everyone else who's out trying to live it without His mercy, they're not really living, are they? You're walking by faith. You can't see Jesus, but you know that He's there. You might not always hear His voice, but eventually He's going to talk to you. And even if you don't hear Him with your ears in this life, even if you never completely develop the ability to hear Him speaking special secrets and whispers to your heart and to your life, He's speaking to you from His Word. But yet one of these days you're going to hear Him. And one of these days, as the song says, my faith shall become sight. One of these days, we're going to step out of the blindness that we have had ever since Adam and Eve fell, and they were no longer able to look into the face of God, and we're going to see Jesus face to face. We're not going to see Him like the disciples saw Him. We're not going to see Him in the same way. When we see Him, we're going to see Him in His glory. When we see Him, we're going to see the resurrected Lord. And yes, we're going to be able to see Him. And I believe we'll be able to see the nail prints. I believe we'll be able to see the scar in His side. But I believe that we're going to look into the face of God, because we walk by faith here and now. And we don't give up as we cry out for His mercy. So you're walking by faith right now. One of these days, you're going to see Him. You're going to see Him. You know what? Jesus heard Bartimaeus. Jesus saw Bartimaeus coming through the crowd. Jesus knew what was going on. And He does the same for you and me. He sees us amidst the crowd of our life. He sees us in everything going on. He hears every cry that we're crying out. And He's going to stop the procession. He's going to call us to Him. One of these days, He's going to call us to Himself forevermore. Amen? But He's waiting for us to continue to cry out to Him. You know what? If Bartimaeus hadn't continued crying out to the Lord, we never would have heard of Him. According to this scripture, it says that after he received his sight, it says immediately he received his sight and he followed Jesus on the road. There are some of us that are following Jesus by walking by faith and not by sight right now on the road. But one of these days we're going to be following Him and walking on streets of gold. Until that day comes, we want to follow Him wherever He leads us today. Bartimaeus became one of the followers of Christ. There are many who believe he was there on the day of Pentecost and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues. There are many that believe that this particular Bartimaeus was a leader in the early church, and one of the reasons that they tell us that he was a leader in the early church is because it tells us who his father was, Timaeus. Because it wants to establish his family history so that everyone in this day when this gospel was written, they'd be able to identify, oh, I know who he was because he came to my church and he spoke and he did this and he did that and he prayed with me when I was sick and he did all these things. Bartimaeus followed Jesus. Here's the point. We're walking by faith, not by sight. One of these days we're going to see Jesus. We're crying out to God and He will stop the whole procession. He will meet us where we are. He will ask us what we want. He will meet our need. But it doesn't end there. That's only the beginning. Bartimaeus chose to continue following Jesus, to go with Him to Jerusalem. Now, remember what I told you at the beginning of what's getting ready to happen. Jesus is getting ready to die. And Bartimaeus, at the end, being able now to see, having cried out to the Lord for mercy, is so enamored with the mercy of God, so in love with God and the mercy He's given him, that now he's following Jesus, even through the last days of Christ's life. And he'll follow Jesus even beyond the resurrection. What are you trying to say, Brother Darrell? What I'm trying to say is this. When God answers your prayer and he meets that need and he does that work, that's not the time to rest on our laurels. That's the time to get up and follow Jesus. because there's more that the Lord wants to do than just meet our immediate needs. There are needs of others that He wants to meet through us. There are people that He's going to put us in contact with that we're going to be able to encourage, and we're going to be able to help them, even if it's just with our testimony. He's not done with us yet. Amen? Amen. Will you stand with me this morning? Go your way, your faith has made you well. Go your way, your faith has made you whole. Go your way, your faith has become your sight. Whatever it is that you are crying out to the Lord for today, I want to cry out with you. I don't want to be a discourager and tell you, well, the Lord doesn't have time for you, or to try and say, no, we got all these other things going on. If you need something from the Lord this morning, I want to agree with you for your need. There are others here, I believe, that would like to agree with you for your need. If you want the mercy of the Lord to come on you and to do whatever it is that needs to be done, now is not the time to stop crying out. Now is the time to cry out that much more. So first of all, I'm going to pray a general prayer, and then after I prayed that general prayer, if there's anyone here who needs special prayer or you'd like to stand in for someone, as you know, look around. We have a lot of people that need prayer this morning that can't be here. So if you'd like special prayer, or you'd like to stand in for someone who needs special prayer, then after we've had this general prayer, I'm going to ask you to come forward so that we can pray with you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, Lord, we come before your throne right now. And Lord, we commit ourselves to crying out to you for your mercy. Lord, I pray, Lord, for your mercy for Haiti. Lord, I pray for your mercy for this nation. Lord, I pray for your mercy for this neighborhood. And Lord, I pray your mercy for this church. Lord, I pray your mercy for my life. God, in each of us, no matter what it is that we face, no matter what it is that we truly need, God, we want your mercy. We want your loving kindness, which is better than life. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray, Lord, that God, you would intersect with the time where we are. That God, you would stop the procession right where we are. And that God, as we come before you, that Lord, you will meet with us. And in your mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, Lord, you will speak into our hearts the words that make us whole. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, everyone in this building, and Lord God, those who can't be here, the needs in their lives, as they cry out to you, let them know that you've heard them because you stopped the procession. Encouragement begins to come forth. And, Lord, they stand in your presence, hearing your voice, as you ask them what it is that they desire. God, in Jesus' name, right now, let this be one of those turnaround moments in each of our lives where our faith becomes not only strengthened, but becomes activated in a greater way. Not for us, but for your glory. For your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name.